I mean, these are the most sensitive people on earth. They belong in little bubbles. And these are the owners of the Orioles. Like, give me a break. They're totally putting a wet blanket on what's otherwise a really good season for them. Welcome to another Financial Guys podcast. I'm Mike Hayflick, along with my no video, no image Mike Spiraza partner. Ha ha, I get the whole screen to myself, Mike. If you're online watching, folks, you only see me today.
This is take two for everybody out there, too, because we are computer illiterate. So here we are.
I think this was a message from up above. We got to get Mike Spiraza's face off of off the screens. Yeah. And here it is.
Well, I'll figure out some other way. Kelsey told me how to do video and I already forgot. So maybe I'll just put a nice big picture of me on the screen.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, do that. Maybe playing like badminton or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Very looking athletic. That's right.
Yes. Right. Yes. All right. Well, Mike, I want to start with this. It's a little light, but it's sad. It's sadly light because it's Kamala Harris, Mike. And I'm going to play a couple clips and then I want to play a most recent clip of her words of wisdom. And honestly, we've talked about this before where it's almost like to the point of not funny, because this is literally the second person in charge of our country, the first if anything were to happen to Joe Biden. So let me just play this oldie but goodie first.
We will discuss the work that we will do together to strengthen our space cooperation. You and I spoke briefly about the beginning of the next era, and for you, what that means in terms of your leadership and your vision for the future. And certainly strengthening our space cooperation would be a part of that agenda, including, of course, using our space cooperation to think about how we strengthen the economic prosperity.
Yes, using multiple words many, many times for emphasis. Here's one with children, Mike. This is space and children. If you don't recall this, here it goes.
Mother, you guys are going to see. You're going to literally see the craters on the moon with your own eyes.
Oh, my goodness.
With your own eyes. I'm telling you, it is going to be unbelievable. So that's one of the things we can do here, too, which makes it so exciting.
That was with children, Mike.
The child and, actors, yeah.
Child actors, yeah, because how could she possibly connect with children in just their natural state? Right. They've got to be as actors and actresses, all right. And then this, Mike, of late, she's delving into the financial world with this goodie.
Oh, yay.
And so for years, we have worked to expand investment in community banks. Because, you see, community banks specialize in providing loans and financial assistance to small business owners, in particular, those in overlooked and underserved communities, including rural communities. And as the name suggests, community banks are in the community. They understand the needs of the people they serve. They understand the capacity and the opportunity, such as the capacity and the opportunity of this community that big banks often overlook or just don't get.
I'll just stop right there just so we can all let that sink in.
Yeah, words of infinite wisdom from our vice president. I mean, you know, Mike, you mentioned before first in command if something happens to Joe Biden. And I got to tell you, based on his age and what we've seen in many years now with his decline, that's not that far-fetched anymore, right? I mean, I hate to say it, knock on wood, you don't want to see this to anybody, but we're a stroke away or a fall away from having Kamala Harris be our president, right? I mean, that is horrifying, and it should be to everybody, but that's why you need to actually put people in the right position. You know, from the beginning, Kamala Harris didn't do well at her primary 2, 3, 4 years ago, whatever it was now. I think it was 4 years ago. I mean, she finished less than 1% in the Democratic primary, Mike. That is atrocious. And that's who they chose as their vice president. I mean, we all knew that Joe was declining back then, and the Democratic Party said, you know, we need to have Kamala Harris. Just very silly.
Yeah. And Mike, it'd be different if she went into that position as vice president and just really shocked all of us and became competent and became kind of a refreshing, you know, voice of reason and and actually solved problems. And she never did. In fact, Fox News, 56% disapproval among voters. NBC poll, if you don't believe Fox News, which I get it, right? They might lean a little more conservative. It might be arguable at this point. But NBC poll compared to, a 49% with a negative view, including 39% with a very negative view. And even NBC News noted the lowest ratings for any vice president in the poll's history. Now, this, Mike, of course, is one take. Ashley Sullivan. Let's see here. She decides that I feel like I'm getting her name wrong. Let me just make sure. Oh, no. Yeah, it was Ashley Allison. Excuse me. Ashley Allison. She says, I think this is happening for a couple of reasons. Most people don't know what vice presidents do. Yeah. So it's our fault, Ashley. It's our fault. When we listen to Kamala Harris just do these word salads, these mumbo jumbo type speeches, it's our fault. We don't get it. We don't speak vice president speak, Mike. That's why.
Well, and Mike, I'd like to talk to that 41%. Like, who are you? Who are the 41% that are like, you know, this woman's doing a real bang up job? Who are those people? Because I think we're owed that explanation at some point to why, you know. I mean, Mike, she's not even close, right? I mean, she's not even close to coherent, making sense to anybody with a brain. I mean, you know, again, I'm not trying to make fun of a woman, of the woman, because I don't want this. Like, even though I'm a Trump supporter, I've always said this. Even if when Trump ran, Mike, if Hillary would have won, I've always said this. Like, the idea is not to root against them. The idea is to root for them, because if we're rooting for them and they're doing a good job, well, guess what? Our lives are probably better.
Right. Yeah. Ashley goes on to say that Kamala's a history maker. I'd say you're right on that, Ashley. She's a history maker of having the lowest ratings of any vice president in history. Mike, she's also a woman. She is a black woman. And it's the easy thing to do to say she's the attack dog. Go after her. So I think this gets to the crux of it. Like, it's about identity. It's about how we all feel about the identity of Kamala, not about her own competence.
No, and that's what we've done now for many years. You know, this administration, Mike, has Joe Biden has said it right. You know, we have the most diverse and the most whatever he says. Cabinet and administration in history. Well, that's great, but it shouldn't matter how diverse you are, what color you are, what gender you are. We want people that can do the job. And Mike, this is a fear that, like we just talked about, you might have a vice president become a president, and that person shouldn't be in that position, and that's a problem for America.
No doubt. There's no doubt, and there's problems in New York City too, Mike. There's teenagers destroying that city.
No.
New York's Union Square. I know! Surprise, surprise. It's a shock. I get it. Someone that you probably know, an online streamer, Kai Cenat.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, you know I'm my streaming online. That's right.
I'm sure you spend hours listening. But he was going to give away PS5s, Mike, so I feel like it is a reasonable moment there for teenagers to just go destroy everything in your site to get a PS5 from Kai Cenat, an online streamer. And then Mayor Adams's reaction first was, oh, well, come on, don't fault the teens. It was outside agitators, Mike. And then he said it was parenting, Mike. It was the parents. And then I don't know that he ever said, oh, no, these teens really ought to know not to destroy our city. I mean, this just going on in every liberal city, right? There's just no, there's literally, it's by chance is what I'd say. It's by chance that you might not be violently attacked or part of some violence in some of these liberal cities. It's not because of order. It's not because of proper, proper monitoring of these cities anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I laugh when I hear this stuff, like, you know, yeah, it's the parents' fault. Well, no kidding. it is partly the parents' fault. But it's also, these are like 20-year-olds and 19-year-olds and 18-year-olds. They know that destroying New York City property is not okay. So right. we can also blame the children, too. And if you want to blame outside agitators, I'm fine with going that route, Mike. But then when are we allowed to say that about January 6th? Because we've been told for years now that we can – no, it's not outside agitators. No way. The FBI wasn't involved. No. It was just bad, right. bad Trump supporters, right? Like, when are we going to be allowed to say that next? You know, like the outside agitators on January 6th, they would never let us say that, ever.
Never. We'll never, ever be able to say it because only they get to change the narrative, Mike. Only they get to use those justifications for their arguments. So shame on you. Mike, how about this? I think I'm imagining you doing this now. I'm sure you were in line to go see Barbie.
No, I was not.
Are you sure? I thought I saw you with a Ken outfit on. No. Oh, that would mean I was there. Wait, I didn't go.
My blonde hair, yeah.
So Mike, Barbie, right? Ken and Barbie. It's supposed to be fun, right? Should yeah. be just fun.
Yeah.
Lighthearted, kind of cool, I guess, maybe with the, you know, the way they dress and the movements and all this kind of thing. How about this take? You got to just listen to this. Like, I'll tell you what, I don't even know what some of this means, but this is what Simu Liu praised the film for deconstructing heteronormative gender roles about yeah. toys and colors, Mike.
Yeah. Good, good.
Do you even know what heteronormative means?
I would assume something normal, right? Normative would be normal. No.
Okay. Hetero. I seriously. So this is what she goes on to say. And I'm so glad this movie exists because I think it puts the final nail in the coffin of that very heteronormative idea of what gender is and what is or is not gendered. And then Katrina Trinko goes on to say, she said that while there were some disappointing woke moments in the film, overall the movie, this is more stuff I got to look up after we finish this. Overall, the movie challenges the understanding of women promulgated by the sexual revolution and modern feminism. Like, are liberals the most unfun people on the planet, Mike?
Yeah, well, no, they're the opposite. The least fun humans ever. I mean, I don't even know how they have time, Mike, to worry and figure this stuff out. It's the most confusing thing ever. You know, again, all these terms they use, all these words they use, all these things that they try and make up out of thin air. I mean, it's the most laughable, frustrating thing of all time. And Mike, I will play this a little bit later. I'll send you the clip. I don't know if you saw this, but this is the same idea. A Baltimore Orioles announcer was suspended. Did you see this?
Yes. Yes, how offensive he was.
Yeah, and I know this is a little off topic, but it's on the same topic of the woke,
oh, yeah.
the woke world that we live in. But, I mean, the guy said that the Baltimore Orioles have been 0-16 in their last 16 series in Tampa, Florida. And that got mm-hmm. him thrown off the airwaves. He's suspended right now.
Right. Yeah, and we often will set up a compliment by saying how bad things have been, just to give some context, right? And that's what he did. He essentially said, listen, it's been bad. Let me tell you how bad it's been. But am I ever glad that the Orioles are at the top of the league again?
Right.
And they are. In fact, the Yankees are at the bottom of right. that league. And then he goes on to say, you know, they've won, was it 3 out of 5 or something? I don't know. Whatever it was. But, yeah, it's – I mean, who are these people pulling him from the booth for that? Like – are they the most? They got to be the most sensitive people ever. Like if the room isn't exactly the right temperature, they're gonna say, "Oh my gosh! Like somebody please set the thermostat properly." And oh my gosh, this fabric on my skin is just giving me a rash. Like, I mean, these are the most sensitive people on earth. They belong in little bubbles. And these are the owners of the Orioles. Like, give me a break. They're totally putting a wet blanket on what's otherwise a really good season for them.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And thank God, you know, I know I saw the Yankees announcer for the last 30 years came out and said, you know, this is the most BS thing I've ever seen, essentially, is what he said.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, more people need to speak up. I mean, that's how ridiculous we're getting, that you can't make a comment to say – yeah, our team has been bad for this long. I mean, What are you supposed to say? Yeah, they finished last in the division for 10 years, but they had a really good season. They only won 40 out of 162 games, but they were really, really trying hard. Like, what are you supposed to say?
That's exactly what you're supposed to say. When your kids or when your teams don't do well, don't hold them to better. You know, don't say, come on, you know, we got to keep working here. We got to win a few. No, you say, oh, but they tried really hard. Let's give them a lot of credit for showing up. They looked really good in their uniforms. What else? I mean, it is. It's outrageous. Like, all this guy wanted to do was put a little context into this. And all accounts are that this guy is pretty good at what he does. Like, there are reports that he could go to any other Major League Baseball team and be well-received because he's so good. So, yeah, it's just, it is. It's part of this woke culture. You can't have fun. You can't hold people accountable. So stop doing that or we're going to cancel you. I mean, that's this continued the continued story, Mike. I want to just jump over to Biden and this Devin Archer. So there's a couple things I want to talk about and get your thoughts on, and then I want to finish up with President Trump and this, you know, this next indictment. We'll call it the next one because it likely isn't the last. Devin Archer
was supposed to be coming down today, actually, Mike, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah. Well, here we go. Is this the Atlanta?
Yes, this is going to be Georgia. Yep.
Yeah, Georgia. So, all right. Well, we'll stay tuned for that. So, Devin Archer, though, basically had testified, and there was talk that at least 20 times in 10 years he was on speakerphone with Joe Biden. So he knew Joe Biden, right? He knew he was a pal of Hunter Biden. So he knows Joe Biden. What I think is interesting, you know, you don't have to talk business in order to get the influence of someone who's in a high position, right? All you have to do is say, I was on a call with Joe Biden. Like, that's it. Like, that's all you've got to really do. You don't have to say, okay, here are all the nuts and bolts of how we're gonna make money, Joe, and you're going to be part of this. Like, you don't do that. You just simply have to be on calls. And anyway, I just had to throw that out there. But then you've got this guy, Eric Schwerin, a business associate and former friend. And he was noted to have at least 36 visits during Joe's time as vice president. And it could be way higher, Mike, because that didn't include what they said could be like a lot of personal visits to the family, right? To the actual, well, in this case, Joe Biden's family. So you've got all this happening. You've got them denying that Joe knew anything at all about business. But you've got Hunter Biden's ex-wife of, I think it was like 24 years, saying Eric Schwerin basically ran everything relating to financials for us. And I don't think she meant for Joe Biden, but for Hunter Biden and her. He knew everything. And this guy, like, being around Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, visiting Joe Biden at least 36 times, I mean, that's like 5-6 times a year during Joe's reign as vice president, Mike. Like, what are they trying to do to all of us? Are they trying to say, yeah, we'll let these facts go out there, but they're not true, or you shouldn't believe them, or it's all benign? I mean, what are they trying to do at this point?
I just want to remind everybody that Donald Trump is the one being indicted 4 times right now. I just want to remind everybody of that. So everything that keeps coming out about the Biden family, Mike, the Trumps keep getting in trouble. It's mind-boggling. And again, am I saying that Hunter should be arrested? No, I'm just saying, can we talk about it? Can we look at an investigation? Can we actually have a legitimate investigation that doesn't, you know, just ask Hunter a couple questions and let him go? Can we do what we do to the Trumps, to the Bidens, once? Just to, you know, again, there's more smoke to the Biden fire, Mike, than there's ever been with the Trumps, right? I mean, yet all we do is we go back and indict the Trump family. And I keep bringing the Trumps up because every week there's something Hunter related that comes out that you're like, this doesn't add up anymore. You know, look at his career, you know, being on the board of directors for Amtrak, right? Managing a hedge fund. Lomas and I talked about this last week, Mike. You and Mike and Glenn and people that have been in the financial business for a long time couldn't manage a hedge fund. Hunter can?
That's right.
I mean, come on, let's be real for a second.
Right. And that just never matters to any of these liberals. They think, no, that's his personal life. Leave him alone. And Joe has never been involved in any of Hunter's business dealings. Okay. But Joe says he's the smartest guy I know.
Right.
And he's got all these. He's got literally these friends, Devin Archer, Eric Schwerin at the time, visiting him at his place of employment, which happens to be, you know, in Washington, D.C., right near the White House. It's not where the vice president lives. This is something. So one of the things that Joe actually basically handwrote a letter. Well, it's first typed out. It's to Devin. It says, "Dear Devin, I apologize for not getting a chance to talk to you at the luncheon yesterday. I was having trouble getting away from hosting President Hu." So at the time, the Chinese president. This was back in 2011. "I hope I get a chance to see you again soon with Hunter. I hope you enjoyed the lunch. Thanks for coming." And then in handwriting, "Happy you guys are together." I mean, so this, again, you don't have to say, "Hey, tell me exactly how this is going to be structured. Tell me exactly how we're going to carry out these, you know, this business that we're going to do together." You don't have to do that. You have to show up. You've got to have access, and that's what these guys have had. So it's just mind-boggling that there's no recognition of this by the media or by any Democrats.
No, and you know, you say shocking, Mike. It's really not. I mean, this is the same administration that said Joe Biden was totally with it, yet he couldn't go in public to campaign, right? This is the same media that you know put John Fetterman on a pedestal when it took him 35 seconds to answer a question because he had to get it read to him or put on a TV. And I'm not making fun of him when I say that. It's sad, but that's where we were, right? And they pushed him to win an election. Now, this is the same guy, John Fetterman, that had to take a major absence from his duties because mentally he was not capable of doing the job. So, you know, is this shocking? No. I mean, we've seen this how many times? Is it shocking to normal people like us? Sure it is. But at this point, you know, Mike, we're not changing the way we're doing things. This is what the whole 2024 campaign is going to be again. I'm telling you that right now. If you think Joe Biden's going to be traveling the country and doing rallies like Trump does, even if there's 10 people there, he's not doing it. He can't do it. Mentally and physically, he's just not there. So this is what we're going to do yet again. And let's see how that goes. I'd imagine he'll still get the same supporters that he has, Joe Biden, because they refuse to you know call him out for anything. But I think most you know middle of the road Americans are going to say, "Wait a minute, we're doing this again, and there's no COVID excuse."
Yeah, totally agree. And I have to get a little another friend of yours here on on our show today. Speaking of Trump, the liberal media, their heads are just exploding to see what's going on, because even with yet another indictment, maybe another one, as you said, coming down today in Georgia, liberals like Chuck Todd, they just cannot believe how good Trump is still polling. Let me play this for you.
"This, Willie, you know, the Republican dynamic in this primary only changes if there is general election polling showing Trump losing by more than 5 points. If we get to that moment, then all of a sudden the whole idea that he can't win is actually something that voters might contemplate. But right now, the biggest thing that benefits Donald Trump is the fact that it's a tied race. And I always ask this question: what is it? Does it say more about Trump or Biden that a thrice indicted former president is tied with the current president?"
Let's ask you, Mike Spiraza. Is it more a statement on Biden and how bad he is, or is it a statement on Trump and how much America is still supporting Trump?
Well, honestly, I think it's both. This whole campaign they're doing with Bidenomics is cracking me up, because gas in Buffalo right now is $4 a gallon. I tweeted this the other day. I said, man, I just went to the gas station for the first time in a week and my gas went up 25 cents, right? Like I thought, and then now, you know, the left will say, well, that's not Biden's job to, you know, handle fuel prices. Well, when they were coming down, he was taking credit for it, if you remember, right? Every time it came down 10 cents, he was saying what a great job he was doing. So I think that's part of it. I think the media can only cover for you so much, and I think people are starting to see it. Look, Mike, I'm sure you feel the same way. You go to the grocery store. What I used to spend was 80, 90 bucks 3-4 years ago, and it's at a minimum now 125, 130 bucks. That is Bidenomics, Joe. That is Bidenomics, right? Money, it's costing more to do things now. And I also think, they've miscalculated and misjudged what people would feel in terms of, you know, these Trump indictments. I think, you know, somebody I'll use in my own family, I won't say who in my family, but was not a big Trump supporter. And now that person is saying to me, I'm voting for Trump 100%. This is getting ridiculous. So I think they miscalculated that. I think they thought people would turn on Trump. And to be honest, some of the middle of the road voters are now like, this is BS. I want him back in, you know, and I think that's where we're at right now. We'll see how far that goes. I mean, Trump's up 50 percentage points in a lot of polls. DeSantis is crumbling underneath himself. Trump, it's Trump on the Republican side. Lomas and Glenn would say it's too early, I guess, but I don't know how you're going to make up 50 points short of Donald Trump, like, you know. I mean, even him getting convicted is not going to do it. So I don't know what's going to change that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think what could change it? I mean, another candidate really, really just blowing us away. Maybe a guy like Vivek Ramaswamy, who tomorrow turns 38 years old. And thank God this was only a story of a close call. He was flying in his private jet, and there was a pressure problem in the jet, and they had to land, and it did interrupt some of his campaign events. But pretty scary, huh, Mike, when you're in a plane with lots of your family? I think they were all traveling with him because it is the week of his birthday. That's, again, August 9th. And, boy, to hear anything like that, I don't care who you support, boy, you just fear the worst. But thank God things worked out okay.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, he's been a great, great part of this movement and this campaign cycle so far. He's done a great job. I will say, Mike, you know, you look at a guy like him, though, you know, this is just another example. I agree he's had a great run, but how is he going to separate himself from Donald Trump? And that I don't know, because his message is very similar, right?
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis, I'm not really sure what his message is yet. You know, Chris Christie and Mike Pence are the Trump's the enemy, you know, pitch, which isn't going to work, by the way. It's polling that way already. It's not working. But that's my thing. Like, even getting blown away by a campaign, Mike, the campaign you're going to get blown away by is the same message as Donald Trump. So I don't know how you're going to separate. Again, if it was 5 to 7 to 10 points, sure, I would say somebody could absolutely swoop in. Trump could say something, you know, that maybe he regretted and would cost him, you know, a few points. I don't know how, you know, short of him saying something completely outrageous or them going after him and somehow, you know, I said this on a podcast yesterday, I'll say it again, I don't want to talk like this, but if they assassinate him or something, I don't know what they're going to do, Mike, what the Republicans are going to do and what the Democrats are going to do to not make Donald Trump be the nominee. Even if he's running from jail, he's running in 2024, and his base is going to take him to win the primary, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question Trump, you know, no puns intended on this pressure issue that Vivek had on his plane, but he gets all the oxygen, right, in the media. I mean, he doesn't even ask for more attention.
Right.
They just simply keep giving him attention, and it just keeps strengthening his numbers. So it does make you wonder, what can any candidate do? I mean, that's a fine line you have to walk when you're a candidate. Like, when you're a guy like Pence, you pretty much have to come out and just say, No, this guy, you know, he wasn't going to follow the Constitution. He's coming out and he's going to try to go toe-to-toe with Trump. But a guy like Vivek, I mean, he's trying so hard to stay on topic and keep it positive, but I just don't think the American people will notice that as much as they notice indictment after indictment after indictment.
Yeah, and it's sad we're here, Mike. That's where we are right now. That, you know, all they like to do is they like to deflect. I mean, and, you know, Loma said this last week on the radio show, and I'll say it again, but let's be honest with ourselves. Everything the Democrats say about the Trumps and about the prior administration, they're actually doing all those things. Every single thing they said, right? They called Donald Jr. a cokehead. Well, Hunter's a crackhead, right? And Donald Jr., right. There's zero evidence of Donald Jr. being a cokehead, right? So that's number one, right? And then it was Russia, Russia, Russia. Well, who would have thought? It's them that was dealing with Russia and Ukraine and all these other things. I mean, every single thing they did, they said all the machines were hacked and then, you know, don't trust the election in 2016. And then in 2020, here we are. We can't trust the election because they're actually bringing in fraudulent votes. I mean, you know. Again, like, I hope people wisen up. I don't know. I have my doubts in this world we live in, though, because it's they're just not the America. I hate to say it, is not what it once was. But it comes to intelligence, thinking for yourself, you know, making decisions and making rational decisions. We've lost all of that. And I think we have too many people that are just way out of their minds these days.
Yes, we are being smothered. There's no question about it. So, all right, folks, we're going to leave it right there. Keep up the good fight. I'm Mike Hayflick for Mike Spiraza. To find, again, this and every podcast we do, Morning Mics, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, 8:15 to 8:30 live every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Go to financialguysmedia.com. Really appreciate you listening. Keep up the good fight. We'll see you next time.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.